So we'll get to the handout in just a minute. That's going to be a little later on in the Sunday school lesson. But I want to share with you some introductory thoughts and then some background information, and then we'll get into some practical lessons for this. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3 through 4, it says, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." The topic for today that I'm going to be teaching on is how to pray for our evangelists, how to pray, how we are to be praying for our missionaries that are serving out on the foreign field, that are spreading the gospel throughout the world. And when I first heard of this topic, well, not heard of the talk, but when I was first given this topic, I began to think, well, we've already been hearing a lot of messages on this topic. We've already been hearing these past several weeks, in the month of February, our focus as a church has been on missions and on soul winning and on reaching the lost. And then Pastor Gable just preached something very similar to this topic a couple weeks ago. Pastor Roland has been preaching many messages on this topic. And then Pastor Burke, he was preaching several messages on how we ought to be praying, how we ought to be going, how we ought to be serving, and how we ought to be spreading God's word. And so I was trying to think, okay, how can I change it up? Is there something new that I can say? But I mean, really, there isn't. There isn't a whole lot of new things. But once again, it's re-emphasizing and putting the emphasis where I believe our emphasis as a church ought to be. Amen. And that is on missions. That is on reaching the lost. And one of the most important things for our missionaries, we can give them money, we can support them as they're on the mission field, but if they do not have the prayer support of their church family back here praying for them, all they're doing is just going through the actions, and then we really need God to do a work through them and to be able to use them in reaching the hearts and lives of the people there in the place of where they're ministering. In that verse, in verse number 3, it says that God would open unto us a door of utterance. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that point, but that those two first words there, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Man cannot open those doors. Man cannot force himself through. And if we do not have the power of God working in through the missionaries, through our pastor, through the evangelistic efforts that we have, there it means nothing. It's empty. And so we really need to make sure that we are lifting up and that we're praying for our evangelists. But with hearing all these messages, with hearing all this teaching on this topic of missions, of giving and going, I began to ask myself, what changes have I made? So I've heard all these messages. I've heard all these things that we need to do this, we need to be praying, we need to be giving, we need to be going. But what changes have I made? Or maybe you can ask yourself that same question. What improvements, what changes have you made in your life since all these messages that have been preached? It doesn't have to be some life-transforming thing, but is there something small? Is there a particular thing that you've grown in and you've improved on? And so that has been a challenge to me and a blessing to me, saying, how can I improve on this? Am I making sure that I'm putting an emphasis on praying for our missionaries? With all this preaching going on, actually, let me just point out this quote. I heard this this past week, and I thought it was powerful. Spurgeon made this quote. He said, "I would rather take one person who really knows how to pray than 10 people, 10 guys who know how to preach." You know, a guy can get up here and say all he wants to say, but if a guy doesn't know how to pray, doesn't know how to get before God and cry out to God for the souls of men, amen, you know, otherwise a guy standing up here, those are just empty words. And we need the power of God behind what we are saying. And so back to the repetition, back to the time that we hear all these messages over and over again, and repetition is very key. It's repetition is very important. We can have two different types of responses toward repetition. When you hear something over and over again, you know, oftentimes it begins to ingrain it in your life. You think of a child, and as they're learning their ABCs or their mathematical different problems, pluses and minuses, what do? They keep doing that same thing over and over and over again. They keep writing out the A, B, C, and Becky, you could tell that, you know, she's done that many times with all the kindergartens. Write out A, B, C, and it's the same thing over and over and over again. And as Christians, that's what we need. We need to constantly be hearing the same thing over and over and over again, that we ought to be praying for our missionaries. You think of a pianist, as they sit down on the piano, and as they're playing away on that piano, they don't just become proficient on that piano just by doing it a couple times. They become proficient by continually doing those scales, doing those octaves, those playing the melody, the harmony, putting them all together time and time and time again. There's a lot of repetition that is involved in that in order to get good at playing the piano. If you think of also for some of the guys, you know, I've taught some of the guys to do basketball, or I've coached some of the different guys, and there's a routine. If you're shooting a foul shot, you know, I always have a certain routine that I do. And everyone has different routines that they do. Sometimes they pass the ball around their back. Sometimes they smack the ball. Sometimes they bounce it. They spin it in their hands. Everyone has different routines that they do. But I always encourage them to do the same thing over and over again because it builds muscle memory. And my routine is I always spin it, let it bounce, and I flex my knees, bounce it twice, and then I go up. And it's just, that's the same thing I do over and over and over again. And so it just becomes a habit. It just becomes something that whenever I get up to that line, I have the same thing over and over again. I do the same thing. And it just becomes a part of you. And so that is how we ought to be praying and putting our emphasis on missions. It's just a part of us. That when we get up in the morning, when we're spending time with God's Word, in God's Word, sometimes we just go through our Bible reading, we check it off, but are we spending the time in prayer? And sometimes we know that, yes, I need to pray for our missionaries, and so we just pray a little bit more general, broad prayers, and would you bless this person? Would you bless the Wilhites? Would you bless the Williams over there in Thailand? But we're not specific. And so repetition, either that repetition can ingrain that lesson in our life, or sometimes, I don't know if you've heard of the law of familiarity. When you hear something over and over and over again, it becomes sort of dull to you. You just become familiar with it. It's just, oh, ho-hum, that's the same old, I've heard this before. And it just becomes, it's not that important. And I think of this, you know, as just thinking of our pastor, and first of all, I just want to really praise him, for he does an incredible job at preparing messages, you know, every week, and he does an incredible job at making things new and fresh and keeping it alive and real. And we have an incredible pastor, and I just want to praise him for that. But sometimes if we're not careful, we hear him preach over and over and over again. It just becomes, okay, here's Pastor Roland preaching an old message. We get used to his style. We get used to some of the things that he says. And that impact it's not as impactful in our life as it should be. And so oftentimes when missions conference comes around, he has another pastor that comes in and he preaches some old messages. And what do we do? Like, wow, I've never heard that preach like that. That was incredible. I wish I could hear you preaching all the time. And that's what happens to the pastor as he goes to that same church. And he goes back to them. And then they say, wow, I've never heard that preaching before. You're an incredible pastor. And so what's the difference? Well, we're used to Pastor Roland. We get used to his style of preaching, and we become familiar with it, and it's just, okay, the same old, same old. And so there's two different responses that we can have in hearing something over and over again. Either can come a part of us, or it becomes dull to us. Now, what is the difference between those two different areas? Well, when we hear something, what we need to do is we need to apply it to our life. We need to start making slight changes in our life to make a difference. If you're playing the piano, You know, if you're not focused, if you're not concentrated on what you're playing, you're just going to continue to practice and make mistakes, and those habits are going to be just a part of your life and your piano playing. But what you have to do is you have to continually try to make improvements. Okay, I'm going to do this over and over again to get that fingering correct. Whenever you're playing basketball at the free throw line, you know, if some guys are just throwing it up there, I just want to as fast as I can, and they aren't concentrating on the fundamentals of shooting form, they're going to develop bad habits in their life. And there's certain fundamentals in the Christian life, in our prayer, reading our Bible, and prayer and evangelism. Those are fundamental things that we need to have in our life. And say, let's just say in sports again, in basketball, there's fundamentals for the shooting form. And you need to have those fundamentals down before you're able to shoot maybe further away shots, three-point shots or half-court shots. There's a lot of times that young guys, they just want to make those half-court shots. They just want to lob the ball up there and, you know, hope they make it in. And every once in a while, they maybe make it in and they're all excited. But I always encourage the guys that you should get up to the basket. Before you start lobbing balls, you need to go over the fundamentals. You need to have the proper form, and you need to get that into your muscle memory, because you're not strong enough to be able to shoot those shots yet, and you're going to practice the wrong form. And so there's fundamental things, and so we need to constantly we are hearing that information, but we need to take it. Now we need to apply it to some way in our life. And so are we applying this area of prayer in our life? If I ask you this question, how is your prayer life? If you would rate it on a scale 1 to 10, where would it be? Would you say that you have a vibrant prayer life? Would you say that when you meet with God that it's real? Or are you just going over a list? That's really, it's so important. Even I can talk about, okay, you could pray for your missionaries, but if you truly don't have that right relationship with the Lord, it doesn't matter how much you say our missionary's name, you know, it doesn't mean anything. And so you, first of all, need to have a right heart before God and that right walk with God, because then when you bring up and you start to ask God to intercede on the missionary's lives, then, you know, God can work because your heart is right before him. And so how is your prayer life? And then how also have you improved it this month after hearing all this preaching over and over and over again? So evaluate your life. First of all, just a couple simple questions, but are you praying for our missionaries? Is that a part of your daily routine to pray for them? Is this something that you do on a consistent basis? And we can say, yes, I'm going to pray for them. And maybe every once in a while we may ask the Lord to do a work in some of the missionaries' lives. But how consistent are we? You know, oftentimes the hardest thing to get a habit started is initial. Let's just say for a rocket. When a rocket takes off, all the energy, there's incredible amount of energy and fuel that is expended at that initial launch. For a train, for it to get going, for it to get moving, there's a lot of energy that is expended at that initial starting point. And if we don't have a habit, or if we are not accustomed to praying, or to praying for our missionaries, we need to make sure that we need to start that. I mean, that's a very basic, very simple thing that we ought to do. But if we aren't even praying at all for them, you know, we're not going to be able to improve on maybe praying for some of the specific things in their life. So first of all, are you praying for our missionaries? Now the question is, how many are you praying for? How many of the missionaries are you actually praying for? Sometimes as we get before God and we're talking to the Lord and we know that we ought to pray for our missionaries, we have a certain couple missionaries that always stick out in our mind, and we pray for them over and over and over again, which is good. It's good to be able to do that. But we support close to 40-some missionaries or so around there. And we should be consistent on trying to pray for each one of them. And putting the emphasis, putting the emphasis on praying for the missionaries that are sent from our church, most importantly. But really, we should be trying to pray for all of our missionaries and supporting them through prayer. And so, is that an area that we can improve on? Maybe making sure we're praying for all of them. Amen. On a more consistent basis. And then, yeah, how often are you praying for them? And sometimes we go in spurts and things get busy, life gets busy, and it's not of a habit for us. It's not, we aren't praying for them consistently, and we do it here and there. And so maybe you can improve on, or I can improve on, being more consistent in our walk with the Lord and in our praying for our missionaries and them that are overseas. So why is it difficult for us to pray for our missionaries? Well, I think one of the biggest reasons is I think of out of sight, out of mind. And when we don't see them, when we're interacting with them on a consistent basis, we sort of forget. We forget about what they're doing overseas. We forget about where they're serving. We forget about those things, and because they aren't, we don't see them on a consistent basis. And it's easy for us to pray about ourselves, pray about our friends, our family, because we see them on a consistent basis. We're reminded and saying, you know what, I need to pray for this person. But our missionaries, we forget about them. We forget about praying for them. And whenever you have a to-do list, something you're supposed to do during the day, say you have to clean the garage, whatever, oftentimes I pull up my phone and say, hey Siri, remind me at 4:30 to clean out the garage. And what happens? Well, a reminder pops up and says, clean out the garage. It's in front of me. It reminds me that I need to do that. And so we need to be... make sure we put that in front of us and put that reminder in front of us for us to pray for our missionaries. Otherwise, we're going to forget about praying for them. And so, out of sight, out of mind. Alrighty, so I want to do something slightly different here this morning. I want everyone to pull out, if you have a pen and a paper, and you have a little bit of room on the back of this paper, or you can use all the paper, that's fine as well. But I want to do a quick little trivia game, okay? I have 2 minutes, and I'll explain exactly what you'll be doing. But for 2 minutes, I want you to quickly write out as many names of the missionaries that we support as you can remember. And I know you probably think of some more names, you know, afterwards, but I want to see how many you can remember right off the bat, okay? So 2 minutes, and then I'll give a countdown at 5 seconds left. And so ready, get set, go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Alrighty. So I did this little thing. I did it myself as well. But it reminded me how often I forget about all the different names of the missionaries that we actually support. And so count up how many you have. And I just want to see who has first place. I was going to get a prize, but we didn't do that. So if you have more than 15, raise your hand. If you have more than 20, raise your hand. If you have more than 25, okay, let's go to 24. And then he says 25. That's no one. Oh, Lily. Alrighty. Wow. I think Lily. How many do you have? 25. Wow. Look at that. Very good. 25 missionaries. Again, I know if we had more time, you probably can write out more of the missionaries. But it reminded me how easy it is for us to forget all the missionaries. And I began to look through our list of all the missionaries that we support. And like, oh, that's right. Yeah, we do support them. We support them. I mean, there's a whole bunch of Cars, the Clouds, the Hamilton, the Dennis, the Francis, Gaudet's, George, Gossmeyer's, so on and so forth. And so there's a whole bunch of missionaries that we support But it's amazing how quickly we forget about all of them because we get busy with our life. We have a lot of things going on, and we forget about all of them. So I had a couple different practical tools I think would be helpful for you. I did print off several of these, but then I do not have them, and they're sitting on my desk, and so that does no good at all. But Pastor Gable, he has, I think he's recommended this or he's emailed this out on the church email. But basically here is a good schedule for praying for our missionaries. Here, right here, you have your week every day of the week, Sunday through Saturday. Sunday being Pastor Roland and his family and Pastor Gable and some of the church staff. And then each Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to Saturday are different missionaries that are sent out of our church that we ought to be praying for on, this is on a weekly basis. And then also down here we have the different names of the youth group. And that's also very important because that's the up-and-coming missionaries, pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, and we ought to be praying for them as well. And then each day of the week here, we have all the other missionaries that we support. And so the least that you can pray for them, maybe once a month, and that you can remember them, remember their name, and remember where they're serving. But here's just a practical tool for you to have if you don't have a prayer list. You can go ahead and contact Pastor Gable, and you can get this information from him as well, and I think it will be very helpful. It's been very helpful for me. One other practical tool that I have enjoyed a lot, and it doesn't have to do specifically about missions, about missionaries, but Dr. David Gibbs, he is a lawyer for Christian Law Association, and he has this list of, I guess, 57 things or so that he prays for his wife. It's more designed for him praying for his wife, but he shares it with other people, and it can be, these are areas that we can pray for each other, and just practical ideas for praying for each other, praying for our missionaries, and a whole list of different things. Because sometimes we just go through the same thing over and over again, the same, bless this person, bless that person, help them have a good day today, help them have a couple open doors. But here's just some good ideas: a long and satisfying life, magnificent joy, to be steadfast, to be bold in prayer, to be great in praise and thanksgiving, to be faithful and fruitful in Bible study, physical strength and health, steadfastness in trials, thankfulness for trials, boldness for Christ, forbearing, humility under the mighty hand of God, long-suffering, God-given patience, unlimited godly hope, and several other ones. Divine grace for the unknown. So just some other practical tips I would use in when you're praying for different people. It just gives you ideas of what to pray for. And so if you are wanting a copy of that, you can go ahead and see me, or you can also look it up online as well. He has the link of it online as well. So those are just some practical, helpful tips for you. And let's just get into some of the other background information, and then we'll get into the handout on some of these other things. So some background information. We already read that verse: with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. An evangelist is what many refer to as a missionary. Oftentimes we hear the word evangelist and we think of someone who just goes church to church and preaches maybe revival messages, and that may be a part of it as well, but I believe it's more referring to as a missionary and one who's going overseas and planting churches and preaching the gospel churches around the world. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. And I'm going to go through this information a little bit quicker just so we can get to some more practical application through this lesson here. Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. So this assertion is based on the ministry of one man who's actually called the evangelist in the New Testament. And that man's name is Philip. Acts chapter 21 and verse 8 says, "And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him." We also see how Philip was a deacon of the church at Jerusalem. He, who was after the scattering of the congregation, he began a ministry of the gospel, preaching and church planting. And so there was a scattering because of persecution that took place. And oftentimes we don't understand why maybe persecution can come about in our life. But you know what? God knows, God understands, and God used that to spread God's word throughout the whole world. And Philip was one of the missionaries that were sent out and was preaching God's word. We also note, this is just a side note, that Philip was not the Philip the apostle, because the apostles remained at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, you can turn there if you want, Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, just another little side note. So a different Philip than the Philip the apostle. It says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." So some of the locations of where Philip was ministering, we see in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5 through 8. He ministered in Samaria. Verse number 5 says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And for the unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city." And verse number 12 says, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." So he was, part of his ministry was in Samaria. We also see the other part of his ministry was in Gaza in Acts chapter 8, 26 through 39. 26 through 39 says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south of the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him, read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he opened the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that eunuch, and saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found as at Azotus, and passing through the preaching in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So he also served in Gaza, and then he also served in or ministered in all the cities along the plain of Sharon and Azotus in the south of Caesarea, and that was in verse number 40 as well. So actual churches were planted in these regions. And again, for sake of time, I'm not going to go ahead and read all those passages. We see that evangelists are gifted by Jesus Christ to the church. Evangelist is not office of the church as a pastor or a deacon is. And evangelists are men who may or may not have been a pastor or a deacon, but who are sent out of their church to evangelize, to preach the gospel, and establish new churches. I want to point this out. This next point says, all those who serve the Lord in the ministry are prime targets of Satan. So we ought to be praying for our pastor. We ought to be praying for our missionaries. Why? Because they're prime targets. And the devil wants nothing more than to destroy them. He wants nothing more to ruin their ministry. And because he knows that if he can ruin their ministry, he can have a great impact on many of the other people who are following him, or that he has been preaching or discipling all the way along. In the Revolutionary War, when the battles were coming, they would initially started off fighting head-to-head. Basically, they would line up, which is basically suicide, two lines of soldiers. They would all aim their weapons at each other, and they would just hit, say, fire, and they would start firing at the other group, and they'd all start dying because all the shots being fired. But then the tactics began to change as their white rifles began to get more accurate. They were able to shoot further distances. And some of the other tactics that they had was to be hiding more in, obviously not in the wide open, but they would try to hide, and they would try to pick off the leaders of those different groups. As the military was walking along or traveling along, they would try to pick off the leaders of those groups, because they know if they can kill the leader, he is the one who has the master plan, or he is the one who knows the commands. He knows how to lead his men. He knows the strategies, the tactics, or whatever. And he can disrupt the rest of the group of men, and they don't know where to go. And in some ways, that's also what the devil wants to do. He wants to take out our pastors, our missionaries, because he knows if he can get them to stumble, to fall into sin, there's many other people who have been watching them, who have been learning from them, and been growing, and all of a sudden something happens, it has a huge impact on their lives. And so they are prime targets, and we ought to be praying for our pastors and our missionaries. And so this lesson provides instruction on how to pray intelligently for those who are sent from and supported by our church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, you can go ahead and turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. I think this is a key verse that we ought to look at. 2 Corinthians 1, 8, and 11. It says, who shall also confirm unto you, if I get this right, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, not first. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. It says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles, which came to us in Asia, that we are pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we are despaired even of life. And then verse 11 says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And so he's like, I don't want you to be ignorant of all the troubles that we're facing, and our missionaries are facing a lot of different spiritual warfare. They're being attacked, and we ought to be lifting them up and supporting them there. All right, you can now turn to your handout, and then we have some different things that I want to point out here, some practical areas that we can pray for in our missionaries' lives. And so the first blank there, number one, is spiritually. So these are some different areas in where we can be praying specifically for our missionaries. So we ought to be praying for them in the spiritual way. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, we've already read this verse, but praying that God would open unto them doors of utterance, praying that God would allow them to be able to get into the lives of people that they are interacting with. And without God's help, I already said this, but without God's help, they cannot do it in and of themselves. And they need God to open that door. And a door is basically, it allows or restricts access into a location. And in every heart of man, they've been blinded, they've been hardened by the devil, the Satan, the prince and the power of the air. And if God doesn't open up that door, if God doesn't allow you to be able to speak with them, it's going to be very difficult. And so we need to be praying that God would open up doors to be able to preach, for our missionaries to be able to speak and be able to preach to those that are lost. This past week, I believe it was Friday, I'm trying to remember now, I think it was Friday, that we went to Philadelphia, and we were going down one of the oldest streets in America. It was Cobblestone Street, and there's still all these nice old houses on both sides of the street. And we were wondering, it would be neat to be able to go into one of these houses just to see what it's like. And we were about to leave, we're about to walk away, and all of a sudden, literally, a lady opened up the door and said, "Hey, do you want to come on in?" And we're like, sure, yeah, sounds great. And she's like, I love being able to have people in, and I'm just so appreciative of that I'm able to have this house because of, she explained all the different reasons. And then she was able to give us a tour of the nice little house that she has. And then she's like, "Oh, do you guys sing songs? And do you like to sing?" Because I think we gave them a CD or something like that, or a track, or whatever. And we're like, we can sing a song. And so we're able to sing, you know, Amazing Grace and Victory in Jesus. And she kept wanting us to sing. And then she had us go outside, and we began to sing out in the street. And then there was a little photo group. Someone was trying to start a little business, and they were wanting to do a little video of us singing some of these different, "To God Be the Glory," all these different songs. And then so more and more people were sort of coming around, and we were able to give out tracks and talk to these different people. But, I mean, it was such, I mean, literally, it was an open door. And so I mean, we ought to be praying for open doors for our missionaries, and we ought to be praying for those open doors in our lives as well, to be able to talk with people and to share with them the gospel. And because there's nothing that we couldn't have, you know, really knocked on the door and say, "Hey, can we come on in?" or "I'm going to come in." You know, that wouldn't have went over so well. And so she opened up the door for us, and that was such a blessing. So an open door, that's number A, open door to preach. We also have, the next one is boldness to preach God's word. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, 19 through 20. It says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So we ought to be praying for our missionaries that they have a boldness. They would be bold in their preaching, in their witnessing to other people. But also with a balance of, it's not brashness, and you're not beating people over the head with the gospel, but having a boldness, a confidence. And when you truly love for someone and you truly care for someone and you want their soul to be saved, I think you can have that boldness that you need to have. And so we ought to be praying for boldness in the lives of the missionaries to be able to preach God's word. And that is the same way for us as well. You know, whether our missionaries are over there and we can say, okay, we can pray all these things for them, but in a lot of ways, we also are sort of missionaries here in our Jerusalem. You know, this is our area. And so wherever we are interacting with people or going door to door, we also ought to have these same areas in our life. We ought to have boldness, be able to preach God's word. We're going to continue to keep moving for sake of time. Victory in the spiritual warfare. As I'm receiving victory in the spiritual warfare. And we talk about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. You can go ahead and just write that reference down. And if you want to look it up later on, that'll be good. But 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, and then 10, verse 3 through 5, talks about victory in a spiritual warfare. And we are in a spiritual warfare. We are fighting against, we aren't fighting against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the missionaries are very actively fighting these spiritual warfare. And when anyone is even close to being saved, or has the seed has been planted, what does the devil want to do? He wants to destroy that seed. He wants to destroy their lives. He wants to destroy the missionaries' lives. And because there is a spiritual warfare. And it's easy for us to forget because we don't see it. It's not something that we see. But if we're walking with the Lord, if we have a close walk with the Lord, we'll be more in tune with the spiritual attacks or the spiritual victories that come about in our life. We also see to have that we all ought to be praying that they ought to have a right walk with God. A right walk with God. Number D there, to have a right walk with God. And I believe that if you have that right walk with God as you ought to, a lot of these other things will all fall into place. If you're walking with the Lord, if you're praying and you're talking to the Lord and you're spending time with God and you're hearing from God, God is going to be able to show to you the areas in your life, or God is going to be able to reveal to you the open doors that you may have as you're going about your day-to-day life. And so one of the most important things is to have a right walk with God. And I really appreciate Pastor's emphasis. He's emphasized this a lot. Because, and he knows as a church, if we are walking with the Lord, we're praying and we're hearing from God and we are reading God's word, we're going to know what the next step it is, what step we are to take next. Because, that's really where all the answers come from, is from God and God's word. And if we know how to meet with God, we can figure out what is the next decision that we ought to be making. So, that is about spiritually. We have socially. Number two, socially. We ought to be praying for them socially, having a good testimony before men. And I'm trying to figure out what that blank, the basic blank of life. I'm sorry. They went across the page. Okay, so we're going to that's going to be materially. Number two is materially, the basic necessities for life. And so it's laid out a little bit differently in my outline here. The basic necessities for life, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, we ought to be praying for them materially, that God provides to them what they need as far as food, finances, all those sorts of things as well. We see our church's steadfastness in faith promise giving, and we need to be praying that we are faithful in the finances, in giving to them, that that they have what they need to be effective in the ministry in where they're serving. Number three, we see socially. Number three is socially. They ought to have a good testimony before men. This is so important. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. You can go ahead and write that reference down. A good testimony before men. Because whenever someone's testimony, it takes a lifetime to build someone's trust. It takes a moment to lose that trust with someone. And so if the missionary does something foolish, does something that is sinful, wicked, or whatever, it can hurt and harm the relationships that he has been working and building up all the way along up to this point. We also see a right relationship with their family. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4 through 5. A right relationship with the family. And this is so important, I believe, in importance. I believe that your relationship with God, then your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your family, then your relationship, not really relationship, but then your focus on priority on ministry. And so if you lose your family, that should be an even higher priority than the ministry. Because you lose your family, people are going to look at it, okay, why should I listen to you? Because all your kids are astray. And so the focus on the family, they ought to be focusing and putting emphasis on the family and to have a close relationship with them. We also see the relationship with the home church. They ought to be keeping that close relationship with the home church, and that they're staying in touch with us, because otherwise sometimes kids come back or the family comes back and they don't really know anyone in the church and they just don't feel connected. And oftentimes then they can go astray because they haven't been staying connected with the church family all the way along. We see the relationship with other preachers. They ought to have a good relationship with all preachers or other missionaries. Sometimes on the foreign field, if there's two different missionaries that are close together, sometimes there can be butting of heads together and saying, oh, this is my work, this is your work. And so we got to be praying that they have that right relationship with other preachers, with other missionaries. And then we also see verse number four is intellectually. We ought to be praying for them intellectually for their language skills. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And then we also see for scripture skills as well. I just think of my brother Ben. He's going to be learning, I believe, Mandarin Chinese. And, just looking at that just is insane. So, so we need to pray for them that they're able to learn the language, the native language, in order to be able to reach the hearts of the people there where they're ministering, where they're serving. So we also see physically, deliverance from wicked men. Number five, physically, deliverance from wicked men. There's several different verses here, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2. But there's going to be men who are going to want to try to destroy their ministry, destroy their reputation, destroy them. And we ought to be praying that they have that deliverance. Traveling mercies. We ought to be praying for traveling mercies because, again, just thinking of all the places that Ben has been traveling recently, or any missionary, they put a lot of miles on their RVs, they put a lot of miles traveling from place to place, and, anything can happen at any point in time. And then endurance in trials. We ought to be praying that they have endurance in trials and through the difficulties that they are facing, whether it's physical, mental, the emotional, or whatever it is, they have endurance in the trials that they're facing. And one last point, sorry I'm rushing through these things here, but you can go ahead, and this is just a good practical outline of how we can pray specifically for our missionaries. The last one is emotionally, is a calmness of spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 through 13, having a calmness of spirit. They face a lot of difficulties in their ministry, and so they really need the peace of God that passes all understanding. They need that walk with God in order to have that calmness. We see the ministry for praying for the ministries, the cares, and the concerns that they are facing day in and day out. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. 2 Corinthians 11, 28, the ministries and cares and concerns that they face, that emotionally that they can be strong in those areas. And then also for the needship for companionship and fellowship. One of the hard things for missionaries as they are overseas, they don't have that fellowship that they need, or all the families around that they can spend time with. And we ought to be praying that God will give them the comfort, the fellowship that they need in their life. Just really quickly, as you can turn the page over, this is just another little practical thing here. I'm just going to quickly go over this. So you have that hand there, just the thumb, which is the finger that's nearest to you. You can use it to remind you to pray for your evangelists that are nearest to you, which meaning the missionaries that are sent right from your church, the Will Heights, the Hammetts, the Halls, the Williams, the people that are closest to you. You just use this as a reminder. So praying for the evangelists that are nearest to us. We see the pointer finger. We ought to be praying for all the evangelists who are pointing souls to Christ. So that's for the pointer finger. Praying for all the evangelists who are pointing souls to Christ. We see the middle finger, which is the tallest finger. We ought to be praying for the pastors as they lead and direct church's evangelistic endeavors. It's the middle finger, then the ring finger, which is the weakest. Pray for evangelists who are discouraged, who are in trouble, who are dealing with illness or facing trials. And I'm sorry I'm flying through this, but the last finger is, which is the little finger, praying for the wives and the children of the evangelist. And we ought to be praying for each one of these things. Just another little reminder, another little tip for remembering to pray for our missionaries.